Let that sink in. Because during this revival one night, it was Tuesday night, that God really began to speak to my heart. And all I can say is this, I'm here to obey Him. I'm preaching a series now on American idols. We are full of it. And let me tell you something about us in the church. If you're not, listen to me carefully, if you're not all about giving Him glory and honor and praise, you will worship something. Because God created you that way. Yes, you were. You're going to fill your life with something. If you're not going to fill your life with giving Him glory, you might fill your life with alcohol. Yeah. You might fill your life with drugs. Addiction is an idol. Sure it is. There are many idols. And we're going to be facing these idols in the next few weeks. And I'm titling this the series American Idols, and I want you to hear it. I don't know, you know, I have the foggiest idea. I don't know anyone's heart here but mine. But when God gives me something, I know I got to do it. And it may not be pleasant to us. And I hope and pray that we'll all get in on this because we are really being challenged. I personally think that our nation has become more guilty of adultery than any nation that ever existed because we got so much stuff. We're so blessed. And we're going to see the scripture today where it's very dangerous when you are a blessed people, too much is given, much is required, that we worship the creation rather than the creator. That's dangerous. Now, folks, God takes this very seriously. We'll define that in just a moment. Before I get started, though, in my message, I got to say a word to our church. So this is from the pastor to the church. Thank you for what you stepped up and did this week in revival. Number one, most of you were here every night. I praise God for that. Most of you were here every single night. You really got involved in this thing. The lunch last week was awesome. Man, I tell you, folks know how to eat. We had food galore, and it was delicious. You're great cooks. Pulpit bumper's getting a little more out there, it looks like. Sherry said we got to start walking more. The Q&A was very helpful. I had several people tell me, you know, that was more helpful than just listening to a sermon because then we were able to interact. But then the sermons were great. I tell you, this brother was right on the target. And, you know, our church responded. We've never, not since I've been here, given such a love offering as we gave to Dr. Sam Wood, $2,060. It was a major investment, but an investment worthwhile. Our church also incurred the expense of him staying here and then his travel expense. So this entire revival cost us over $3,000. But what an investment for families. I mean, the way I look at it, how can you put a price on that? How can you put a price on Melanie getting saved? Amen? Amen. Thank God for Melanie Jones. Amen? And thank God, that's what makes a marriage, and that's what makes a home when Jesus gets into it. Amen? Amen. And I know that some of you maybe missed it. Look up here. I got hope for you. Brother Sam said, listen, whatever I shared, you've got permission. Put it on YouTube. So it's going to be on YouTube for anybody to watch. And we also have the DVDs. So Eric, go to it. Brother Sam said, you record all you want to. You know, a guy that wants to get the word out, he don't mind sharing it, okay? And speaking of sharing, I just appreciate the way you are being the church and not just coming to church. I'll mention this, the nursery workers. Thank God for the nursery workers. Amen. We need more of you guys to help out. So, this is what I'm asking now, that if you have a child, that you at least serve in the nursery and children's church once a month. That's fair, right? So, yeah, just sign up once a month. That's all you got to do. And if everybody does that, that ministry will be strong. I want to mention also, and this is the start, and I just want encouragement. I know I'm taking time, but I want to encourage you. You know, I thank God for the people who volunteer to keep the grounds looking nice here. So thank you, mowing team, and all the people that do the jobs around here. It really makes it nice. You know, when people drive by here every day, listen to me. This is what people think. They think because I did the first time I drove up here. My first thought was this, how you're serious about God as a church. Because how you take care of God's house says how serious you are about God. Amen? So I want us to take care of God's work. So thank you for taking care of the evangelists and the revival. And Sherry, I know you're my wife, but I'm going to brag on you. I brag on her at home. I can brag on her publicly. Wonderful job with the music. Great week of music. Man, the choir, I'm going to brag on you. Man, you just did. You were beside yourself. I thought y'all were going to take off. And the praise team, I'll tell you, I'm thankful for these people. You know, it takes a lot of work to do all this. Some people think they just come to church and it happens. But it happens, number one, because people spent time in prayer. Are you listening to me? They spent time practicing. It takes a lot of practice. You'd be shocked how much I have to hear banging at home. Boom, boom, boom. But it sounds good. I worship. I'm upstairs. She's downstairs playing. And I worship. And I thank God for that. All right. And I do. I worship. All right. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Find your place and let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. I'm glad I heard some good preaching this week. It's fired me up. All right. This is some deep stuff today. I want you to take every word to heart. Romans 1. And we'll start reading in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed or praised forever. Amen. Well, let's praise Him. Father, we praise You for being God. There is no God but You. You are the true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh God, You are the beginning and the end. You have the first word, You'll have the last. You are the Alpha, the Omega. We bow down to You and no other gods will be before us. For we believe in the one true God who revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, who rose again, and He's the only one who got up from the grave. We serve a living Savior. So God, we're praising You today. We thank You that we're in this place. And God, I pray that we will understand the significance today of worshiping the true and living God. I pray for Your Holy Spirit's anointing, that You would anoint me and every hearer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, you know the TV series American Idols. American Idols. It was an American singing competition television series created by Simon Fuller. It started as an addition to the Idol format that was based on Pop Idol from British television. It became, did you know this, one of the top most successful shows in the history of American television. In fact, it just started back again in March of 2018. The concept of the series involves discovering recording artists or stars from unsigned singing talents, and the winner is determined by American viewers using telephones and internet and SMS text voting. In our country, there's a lot of American idols. I'm not talking about Kelly or Ruben or Fantasia or Trent Harmon. He had a pretty good voice, a country guy. But can anyone name some idols that we Americans worship? Benjamin's the only one in the whole church that raised his hand. Go ahead, Ben.
Football, iPad, TV, soccer,
and... Well, the kid gets it. You're exactly right. What'd you say? Football,
soccer,
sports. Electronics. You're a very smart kid. And I'm going to tell you, if you get that at a young age, because sometimes we older ones, we lead our children and we do it ourselves. Anything that comes between us and God is an idol. Did you know that? Defining adultery. Let's define it. Worship, service, and devotion to anything in place of God. I know that's small. Can you read it? Worship, service, and devotion to anything in place of God. Romans 1, 23 to 25. Exchanging God or His truth for something else. Exchanging God. That's another definition. Exchanging God or His truth for something else. We're defining adultery. Exodus 20. If that's not good enough, here's the best definition. Exodus 20 is the context of the Ten Commandments. The first commandment was that thou shalt have no other gods before you. And then verses 4 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he says, I am a jealous God. I guess I better read it so I can get it right. Exodus 20. This is serious, very serious. Very serious. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. All right, did y'all hear what God's word says? I am a jealous God. And folks, I'm telling you something. God is offended by you. He's offended by me when we allow these idols into our lives. And we're all guilty. If we're an American, we are guilty. Because we all have allowed things. I'm going to say this, even in our worship, instead of worshiping God, we focus more on music. Music can be an idol. Oh, they don't sing hymns. Well, you're worshiping the hymns and not Him. You're worshiping, well, I don't like that contemporary. Well, you're so focused on the contemporary, you're missing Christ. You're missing what it's all about. Folks, it's not the man, it's not the method, it's the message. The message is what you've got to remember. Boy, I tell you, a lot of contemporary songs these days are straight from God's word. Psalm, and by the way, all songs were contemporary. So I don't understand why we get so caught up with these hang-ups. We end up making these things idols, and we've got to be very, very careful here. Here are some of the American idols I'm going to be addressing. Possessions, entertainment, earthly pursuits, pride, lust, fear, and worry. Worry can be an idol. People and relationships, addictions, and yes, ourself. 1 Corinthians 10:22 reads, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And again, I'm going to read it. Exodus 20, verse 5. He is a jealous God. All right, this message is not long. It's to the point. I'm doing a whole series. We'll pick up next time. But you've heard preaching every night, so just hold on. Number one, the snare of deception. The snare of deception. Man has got himself into a trap of his own making. We have deceived our own self-centered selves. Man is a trap of his own understanding of who God is. Listen to this verse. Powerful, powerful verse. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Are y'all listening? We don't need any distractions here this morning. Everybody get a seat. Listen carefully. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Man has deceived himself with his theories of evolution. The Big Bang Theory. And who's the guy that just died? The black hole? What was his name? Yeah. Great thinker. But what a waste. I mean, here we are. We have deceived ourselves in our own thinking. I mean, we are confused. And no wonder our world's in the mess it is, because we're teaching this junk to our children. When you go to college, when I went to college, they taught us the theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, the black hole. We want to figure God out instead of putting our faith in trusting that He is who He says He is. So we come up with other ways of understanding of who God is. Because we cannot put our faith in Him, we come up with our figure or our idol of who God is. Number one, suppression. Suppression. We have suppressed God. Notice what he says in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. In other words, they suppressed God. If you look at verse 18 in chapter 1 of Romans, you'll see the word hold. I looked that word up in verse 18. It's translated hold down, suppress. I want to ask you something. Why are you holding back? What are you holding back? We hold ourselves back. I've had many people in this church say to me, Pastor, there are some Sundays I just feel like I'm going to erupt. Then erupt. I mean, why do we hold back? If you continue to suppress, you will get depressed. Did you hear me? Because God created you for His own glory. He created you not for you, but for Him, to give Him praise and adoration. He gave you love. You can love Him back. If you suppress that, if there is suppression, there will be depression. It's serious, church. The most healthy people, this is a known fact, even science has recognized this, are people who go to church and truly worship God. So we hold back because the devil has handed us his lie. And we think somehow, well, I think I'll just be sophisticated. My God don't deserve my praise. That's what we're saying. Now, I'm not going to judge you. I never will. You don't have to lift up your hand. I'll tell you something that moved me when I came here. I had a deacon. He's still here. Every Sunday, I watched this, and I thought, man, something's going on with this guy. He walked out the door, and his glasses looked like they needed windshield wipers every Sunday. I could just see water all over his glasses. You see, something's going to come out. I mean, hello. I mean, I'm a wired person, so it comes out. I get excited about Jesus. I can't help but having a spell. Because when I think about who God is, the older I get, I keep thinking, what a mighty God I truly serve. Don't He light your fire? Don't He put a joy in my step? I'm so glad that I know Him. And I don't want to hold back, and I don't want to hold back from telling anyone. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go shout it from the housetop. And I'll go in the house too. Don't hold it back. They suppressed it in order that they might live their own lives and not be convicted by God's truth. That's what Paul is saying here. The result, of course, was refusing the truth as seen in verses 21 and 22, and then turning the truth into a lie as seen in verse 25. That is, they refused to magnify and exalt God as God. Their primary goal, this sounds like America, their primary goal was the glorification of self. Let me tell you something. The millenniums have shown me, they've taught me this, that life is all about me. That's what the millennium generation has taught me so far. I'm learning from the younger people. And you know what? You better look after yourself because nobody else will. That's what the millenniums have taught me. You better think of yourself because, you know, you're you and you have self-sufficiency. Well, that's a lie. That's a contradiction to the Word of God. Somebody needs to tell you the truth. Life is not about you. The one who gave you your breath has the one to take your breath. Amen. Yeah, he can take it away from you today. We need to get serious. You know, one thing that I frown upon in worship is people not getting serious, people joking. I'll never forget the first 2 weeks I was here. There was a man sitting back here to my right. And boy, he was so engaged in the service. He was worshiping God. And someone went to the bathroom and came back and touched him. And after that, he was so distracted. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's going to judge us for suppressing him. Amen. Yeah, and that's what we do. And God forbid that you would keep somebody else from giving God worship. Amen. I tell you one thing, you'll never hear this preacher trying to suppress somebody, tell them to hold back. The only thing I think I would ever do if someone got out of hand, I would say, if it's not biblical, I would say, brother, you need to sit down. That's not scriptural. You know, and I would do that. But the problem is, you know, we have suppressed, we have held back, we have hindered. God deserves first place, but those who walk in unrighteousness and open rebellion against the Lord give him no place in their life. Therefore, he is not glorified in them. As a result, he is filled with wrath at the foolishness and sinfulness of man. God is not kidding. He means business. While they deny God, they took all the things that he had given man to teach man about himself, and they used it in their own selfish gains without a single thought being given to the great Creator. I think about all of God's beauty, all of His creation, and we take a beautiful tree, and I know we need paper, but God help the man who took God's creation and turned it into a paper and put a nude picture on it. I'm going to tell you something. Sex is adultery, and we worship. You don't have to have it on paper anymore. You can just get it on the internet. And that's adultery. And adultery is just one step from immorality. God help us. We need to take this serious. I know God's speaking to my heart about it. You can know about God and not know God. The difference is religion or relationship. That's the difference. Second of all, selfishness. Verse 21, but was vain in their imagination. Now, vain, I'll remind you, means having or showing something only about you. In other words, an exceeding high value on self, namely your appearance, your abilities, or your worth. Sherry shared with me last night a quote from George Whitefield she was going to share in her Sunday school class today. Self-centeredness is the last idol to be rooted out of the heart. We're full of ourselves. I said we're full of ourselves. I remember telling the story about the man who he just graduated from law school and he wanted to be something. He wanted to look important. So the first client knocked on his door and he thought, well, I better act like I'm important. So he picked up the phone and he was talking to the phone. He told the person to come in and be seated. He said, I'll be with you in a minute. He said, yes, when I get through with the client of Progress Energy, I've got an account with them. And then I've got an account over with Centura. And I'm working with several utility companies right now. And he named some other big companies and he hung up the phone. He said, now, sir, what can I do for you? He said, well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. I'm just here to connect your phone. I'm telling you, you know what? We want people to think we're something that we're not. It's called hypocrites. And by the way, the church is full of them. I said the church is full of them. Y'all don't look too happy this morning. But we're all hypocrites because nobody is everything he thinks he is. Hello? Some of us think we're real spiritual. And if you think that, you're not. Some of you think you're humble. And if you think you're humble, you're not. That's pride. You're proud of your humility, right? You're proud of the fact that you're so humble. I'm one of the most humble men you've got in this church. And you're full of pride. I mean, we need to be honest, amen? I mean, we are by nature. I mean, you don't have to learn this as a little baby. You're selfish, right? I mean, I'll fight you if you mess with my toys. And that's the way most men grow up. Anyway, and then third of all, senselessness. I call it senselessness. Verses 21 and 22. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now, their foolish heart is not the same as fools in verse 22. It means their unintelligent heart. Their heart, which by itself was endowed with no special faculty of discernment such as to enable them to dispense with the enlightenment from above. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. It is the snare of deception to think that we are wise when we have become a fool. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, meaning senseless. I mean, you are a foolish person to say there is no God. But yet that's what we say when we follow these idols that are being mentioned. I'm telling you, I love football, but football's not my God. You know, I love music, but I don't know of one of those dudes I'm going to follow. You know, there's only one that I've chosen to follow, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow man, man will let you down. But we look at man and we think, well, I sure would like to be like that person. Man, I'd like to be that successful. I'd like to be that football, basketball, soccer star. I'd like to be somebody. Well, folks, if you know Jesus, you are somebody. Amen. Amen. And you've got everything you need, the Bible says, in him. Second of all, moving on quickly, that's the snare of deception. Now we're going to deal with the substitute of delusion. Look at verse 23. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Let's deal with the word incorruptible. Look at verse 23, changing the glory of the uncorruptible God. Because man would not conform to the image he was made in, that is, we were made in the image of God, he chose to conform God into his own image, which is called idolatry. Man exchanged the glory of the true God for substitute gods that he himself made. He exchanged glory for shame, incorruption for corruption, truth for lies. Oh, how we have so got this so messed up. Folks, God will not change. Whoops. You can't change God. He is, as this scripture clearly teaches, he is the uncorruptible. He's incorruptible. He is the only true source that defines truth. Someone said there are no absolute truths. Well, if there are no absolute truths, then there's not the absolute God of the Bible. There is absolute truth. I hold it in my hand. And who defines truth? God. But people don't. You know why we tear all this apart? Listen to me. Listen carefully. You know why we want to dissect. We want to separate it. We want to, and I'm going to say it, probably make somebody mad, but we want to keep coming up with these versions so it become more like the way we think. Ooh. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If I'm reading God's word for the truth that it is and letting the truth change me, then I'll become more like God. But you see, we don't want to become more like God. Are y'all listening to me? We want to become more like man. In fact, we want God to be like us instead of us being like God. Boy, I'm going to tell you something about God. It ain't going to happen. Because God never changes. You're not going to change God. You're not going to make God do anything. We want to put God in our theological pockets and say, well, now this is for this and this is for that, and I'll pull it out when I want it. It don't work that way. Friend, God is God, and if he says it, that settles it. Amen. It's not whether you believe it or not. Someone said, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it whether you believe it or not. It's not based on what you believe. It's based on what God said. He is incorruptible. But let's look at the next word we see in verse 23. Image. Into an image made like to corruptible man. Man wants a substitute when he really needs a savior. Note that first on the list of false gods is man. This fulfilled Satan's purpose when he told Eve, you remember in Genesis 3:5, ye shall be as God. What a lie. And you know what? Why is it that we will believe a lie before we'll believe the truth? Why is it? This fulfilled Satan's whole purpose when he told Eve in Genesis 3:5, ye shall be as God. Glory to man in the highest. Satan encouraged man to say, and man did. Instead of man being made in God's image, man made God in his own image and then descended as low as to worship birds and beasts and bugs. That's where we are. We, maybe There should be a theory of de-evolution because we've not evolved to something better. We've descended to something much worse. What an image is painted here. Man don't need a good self-image. Man needs a good God image. We want God to work in our time. We come to church. This is an idol right here. And we want God to do it our way. God, you work between 11 and 12. And if you don't do it between 11 and 12, I don't care if the preacher preaches past 12 or not. I'm cutting it off at 12. We're trying to tell God what to do. And we want God to work in our time frame and in our purpose and our plan and our image. We want God to be like us. And the third letter, a word, is idols. He said in verse 23, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Listen carefully. It is easier to follow a God that you create than to follow the God that created you. A God you create can be anything you want it to be with no boundaries, no self-denial. Following God, to follow God involves just the opposite, self-denial and His boundaries of submission. We love idols. I thought about American idols. When I read the four-footed beast, I thought of a Ford truck. Four-wheel drive. Ford truck. All of a sudden, the men in the church are listening carefully because I hear a lot of men say this. I love my truck. I love my truck. My truck is me. This is who I am. I don't need a Ford to define me, and I don't need a Chevrolet, and I don't need a Dodge. I've got Jesus. But for a lot of people, that's defining to them. I'm a Chevrolet man. I'm a Ford man. I'm a Dodge man. Well, I'm a Jesus man. I don't want to get caught up in following these things. And you know what? You may say those things, but what really counts is what's in your heart. Amen. I mean, I know we all say, I love this and I love that. But be careful. Our Creator's invisible power and Godhead are so clearly shown in the works He has made that even adulterers and wicked Gentiles are left without excuse, according to verse 20. Notice what he says in verse 20. He says, there is no excuse. In other words, even someone on the backside of a desert in a jungle somewhere who's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ can know that God is God and He is who He says He is, and they don't have to bow down to an idol because God has revealed Himself as Creator God. He's revealed Himself in creation. So there's your answer. Maybe you've had that question. Verse 20 is the answer, that there is without excuse. Last, and I'm done, the sin of defiance. Because that's what's really happening here. Man is defying God. And you know what? We even do it in church sometimes. I'm a Baptist and I will not be moved. It's a dangerous thing to defy God. I've got a friend of mine. I was shocked when I came here that Jack Smith knows this guy. His name is Gary Long. Gary died a few years ago. Known him for a long, long time. And Gary was telling me, he was pastor of this church, and this really did happen. A couple of deacons got mad one night in a deacons meeting. And these two deacons said, this is not going to happen here. The only way it can happen is over our dead body. One got up mad and left the deacons meeting. And Gary told me this. He said, we were all shocked. We walked through the sanctuary to get to the parking lot where our cars were, and there laid one of those deacons on the front porch of the church dead. Be careful. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God's work, you know, I see a lot of things in church, and I know it's not of God. We are so about us. It's got to be my way. Boy, I tell you, the danger thing about being a church leader is this. You better be praying, God, your will, not my will. Because your will is what messes up a church. Can I get a witness? I'll raise my hand. How about you? If we do what we want to do, our church will be messed up. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, if we do what God wants, it might cost us a whole lot of money. Well, praise be to God, because money is the idol in the Baptist church. It is. We worship it. We think too much about it. We ought to think more about our provider. Really, we should. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, I've just never seen God do that. Well, sit around for a while and you might see God do. There's nothing that God can't do. You say, well, God needs people. Well, friend, God can work without people. He spoke through a mule one time. I mean, God can do any, he can work any way he wants to work. Here's the sin of defiance. Number one is lust. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Now, that's a serious thing. To uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is defilement. Because of their sin, God gave them up, which means that he permitted them to go on in their sin and reap the sad consequences. And the context, yes. I was off with some of our guys Friday night, and we were talking about this. We've got to love the homosexual. We've got to love the lesbian. But God says this sin is an abomination. You got to stand, and if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And church, we got to stand. I know what people are saying today. Well, we just love them and accept people as they are. And I've heard people say that. Well, we just need to love and accept people as they are. Well, thank God, God loves me, but he only accepts me in Jesus Christ, not in my sin. He will not accept me in my sin. Thank God for a Savior, amen? And how easy it is for us to give into the devil's lies with our lust. They received, as it states in verse 27, in their own person the due penalty of their sin. God revealed his wrath not by sending fire from heaven, but by abandoning man in his own lustful ways. In other words, God did say in Romans chapter 1, I will turn a homosexual over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate means no knowledge of God. Without a knowledge of Calvary, without a knowledge that Jesus is the resurrected Lord, you can't be saved. So God says, I will wash my hands. You want to lead the natural affection of each other as a man and a woman. You want women to, and it addresses this, women with women, man with man. God says, then I'll wash my hands of you. And God's going to wash his hands of America if we don't repent and come back to him. Amen. Ruth Graham said that God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he don't judge America. Yeah, he would have to. And God's not going to apologize for judging. You know what a homosexual is? It's a sodomite. And I know we're on YouTube and somebody's going to hear this and I'm going to get a bad letter. But I want everyone to know, God loves you regardless of what your sin is. But sin is sin. By the way, I read this in the New Testament the other day and this hit me because it's the same word, that lying is an abomination to God. Whoa, why don't you preach on that, preacher? Well, I just did. All right, second thing, lies. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Y'all following me in Scripture? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. From adultery to immorality. If man is his own God, then he can do whatever he pleases and fulfill his desires without fear of judgment. We reach the climax of man's battle with God's truth when man exchanges the truth of God for, I'm going to say it, quote, unquote, the lie. And abandons truth completely. The lie, quote unquote, is that man is his own God and he should worship and serve himself and not the Creator. It was the lie Satan used in the garden to lead Eve to sin. Ye shall be as God. Satan has always wanted the worship that belongs only to God. And in adultery, he achieved that. He receives the worship. Satan receives the worship. When we worship idols, adultery is Satan worship. The truth is found in Colossians. And I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Colossians 2:10. I am complete in him. Adultery, the lie, says, no, we're not complete in him. God is not enough. We need something else to complete us. So we can't have joy, love, purpose, meaning, fulfillment without something else. Adultery fills that space of something else because we don't feel like that we're complete in him. And church, one of the best things, and I teach this strongly in the new members class, you are complete in him. Jesus plus nothing. You don't need nothing else. He is sovereign, that means he's in control of all things. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. Regardless of what happens in our life, the devil will lie to you and say, oh, it's your sin. But friend, let me tell you something. Don't own what's not yours. The devil will tempt you, but you don't have to give in to the temptation. The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of lies. I'm about to give the invitation here. Why are you believing a lie? Are y'all listening to me? Because some of you are. In fact, it's not your nature to hear the truth. You don't want to hear, you'd rather hear a lie. Prove it. You'd rather hear gossip than the gospel. Because gossip fulfills the idol self. Oh, yeah. We have a selfish nature. Last, and I'm done, lostness. What is the sin of defiance? And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed or praised forever. Amen. The worst of the worst is yet to come. Man in his lostness will lead others to lostness. Man not only committed these sins in open defiance of God, but encouraged others and applauded them when they sinned. How far man has fallen. He began glorifying God, but ended up exchanging that glory for idols. He began knowing God, but ended refusing to keep the knowledge of God in his mind and his heart. He began as the highest of God's creation, of God's creatures, and made in the image of God, but he ended up lower, the Bible says, than the beasts and the bugs, because he worshiped them as his gods. You become what you worship. You want to be more like God? Then worship him. Worship him. If you're saved, you ought to know how to worship. If you're lost today, come to Jesus and you'll want to worship him. Amen. Amen. God has revealed himself even in his creation as creator. God has revealed himself even in his flesh as Jesus Christ incarnate. God has revealed himself even at his cross as the supreme sacrifice for sin. God has revealed himself even in his resurrection as the one who gives us victory over sin, death, and the grave. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christians should seek the things of God, place their desires and affection on things outside, not placing their affection on the things of this world. All of this because their lives are secure in Christ. We should live for him and not for ourselves. This is not to earn salvation, but to show our gratitude and our love for what he has done for us at Calvary. Where we turn for help exposes who we worship. Where are you turning? I'm through. There's a subtle form of adultery. A subtle form. First, I hear this. My God would not send me to hell for lying. My Jesus is a God of love. He would not condemn anyone. My Jesus did not teach against things like divorce or homosexuality. He wants those people to be happy and love whoever they want. Look at these three questions. What is it that gives your life the most meaning? What is it that gives your life meaning, purpose, and fulfillment? What would you not give up to serve the Lord? Can y'all see that? What would you not give up to serve the Lord? I actually asked you that question because I wanted you to look at that question. I wanted you to see it. What would you not give up to serve the Lord? What are you most passionate about? What consumes your time, your energy, and your affection? Last verse, and we're going to get the invitation. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Tells us to flee fornication. Can we all read that together? Can y'all see it? 1 Corinthians 10:14. Let's read it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery. Flee. Did I say fornication? We'll flee that too. But flee from adultery. We're not to worship any other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. to God. And you'll never hear me pray a prayer. I know what everybody means. I hear a lot of people say in his name. But did you know that the Bible teaches that when you stand against demons and devils, that you need to say Jesus of Nazareth? You need to name the Jesus that you believe in. I'm going to name him Jesus. There's power in his name. In the name of Jesus, I know that this maybe didn't go over good today. Our flesh wants idol worship. Yes, it does. This is a hard thing. But you'll be a healthy person to give up your idols. Don't suppress God today. Don't hold nothing back at this invitation. Some of you have been holding back maybe. You've come every night of this revival and you've been wanting to come to this altar. Don't hold it back today. I'll tell you what. If you, listen to me carefully, if you will not suppress and come to God and say, now God, I want to give you this today, my family, my marriage, what? Don't hold nothing back. I guarantee you, he'll lift your heart and your spirit and you'll walk out of here not depressed, but you'll be rejoicing in the Lord because you've given God that burden. We've got a God box over here. I've not talked about it much here lately at all, but there's a little card in the back of the pew, and you can write on that card and put it in the God box, and there's no way you can get anything out of that box. It's about an inch thick steel. It's welded, and it'll never be opened. We give it to God. We leave it there. We can't take it back. That's what the God box is all about. We're going to give an invitation right now. I'm asking everyone to be leaving the building. The invitation is, I surrender all, and that's the question today. Are you holding back? Is there anything you would not give up to serve God? Father, this is your invitation, and I know you gave me this message. I have no doubt, and I believe with all my heart that there is joy, because the joy is that we are forgiven through Christ. We can walk out of here knowing that you are God and God alone. You are Lord over our lives. There are no other gods before us. Thank you for blessing us with things. But may we not worship the creation, but the Creator. God, I give you worship because you're the Creator. And I know the joy of giving you glory. It is a great, 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 great joy when we glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand.